Welcome back to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast, where you'll hear the Christ Fellowship preaching team getting ready for Sunday morning. We'll talk through the sermon topic and pause a few times to hear directly from the Word of God. Our goal is to help you connect with the Bible and find hope and guidance for your life. I'm your host, Lisa Scheffler, and today I am joined by Senior Pastor Bruce Miller, Senior Associate Pastor Jaime Gonzalez, and Anna Campus Pastor Mark Wyatt. So, yep, the gang is all back together as we wrap up our Conversations with Jesus series just in time for Christmas. And this week we're focusing on John chapter 10. In a tense conversation with the Pharisees, Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd. We'll talk about what that means for us as his followers and sheep, and how that's a message we want to share, especially at Christmas. All right, we are back. And guess what, everybody? Jaime's here.
Hey! Yay! Thank you. Glad to be back.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
We had listener complaints. They were like, where's Jaime? And I was like, we miss Jaime.
A little busy here and there, but glad to be back.
That's okay. We're just glad you're here today. And
you guys held the fort down. You did well.
We did heal the fort.
Barely.
I had to wrangle Bruce and Mark on my own, but... No, like but seriously, we are glad to be here. This is our last podcast for 2021, guys.
Wow.
We're not taking a break, though. I have a special episode for people over the Christmas break. I'm so excited. I'll tell you a little bit more about that at the end.
Right.
But for now, let's talk about our week 4 of Conversations with Jesus. And we are getting so close to Christmas. So we are going to do a... brilliant job of folding in our text for this week and talking about Christmas and getting ready to celebrate Jesus's birth. Mm-hmm. We're doing John 10, but I think in order to really get a lot from John 10, we should do a little background for people on John 9, because I think it sets up John 10 really well and what the conflict over he's having with the Pharisees is about. So Mark, tell us what happens at the beginning of John chapter 9.
Oh, right. Jesus' disciples are at a situation when they see a blind man.
Mm-hmm.
They ask Jesus, who sinned? Did he sin or his parents sin that this man is born blind? And then at that point, Jesus says, neither, but the glory of God may be seen in this guy. So that starts the situation, and he ends up healing this man, and that becomes a point of conflict with the religious leadership of the day.
Yeah, and why is it a point of conflict? Like, what's the big deal there? What day was it when he healed Jaime?
It was the Sabbath.
Yeah.
You can't heal. You can't do good on Sabbath.
You can't do anything on the Sabbath. No. It's another instance of the Pharisees straining out gnats and swallowing camels.
That's why we don't do podcasts on Saturday.
That's right.
Gotta keep the law.
Keep the law. So the Pharisees were obviously focusing on the wrong thing. And as the Pharisees did, they were continually trying to figure out a reason to discredit Jesus.
Right.
So they, of course, raised this issue of he can't possibly be of God if he's healing on the Sabbath, which to us is like, what? But they made it a big controversy, and so they confront the man who was healed, and they end up, because he kind of stands up for himself there, and they throw him out of the synagogue, which is not just like, hey, you can't come on Saturday. That was very much sort of an excommunication, right? He was sort of kicked out of the community.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus comes around and challenges the Pharisees, and they say, what? Are we blind too? And Jesus says, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. And that's where we launch into 10. John 10, 1 through 10. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again,
Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full.
So in 10, there's a lot of sheep and shepherd imagery. I don't know about you guys. I have not been around sheep.
I have.
Have you really?
In Mexico with my grandfather. Remember, many times my father would take us to Mexico every year for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And he had his horses and his cows and his sheep. And I even could tell you that I once had the privilege of retiring a sheep to later eat the sheep. It was a family gathering that we did that day. It was a delicious sheep.
Yeah.
Well, that's real, Jaime.
Yes.
That's
right. I'm sorry, guys.
Jaime, bring it real.
Lamb tacos.
There you go, yeah.
Lamb tacos, yeah.
So.
He's a hungry shepherd, he sounds like.
But Jesus doesn't do that.
No, Jesus doesn't eat the sheep. He leads them. So what do we know about sheep, and what do we know about being a shepherd, and why is this such a fascinating sort of way that Jesus describes his role and who he is by means of challenging the Pharisees?
And I think it's interesting. It's Christmas time, and shepherds are a big part of Christmas.
Yeah.
And so Jesus, actually at his birth, it's the shepherds who came to see him. And so we learn a little bit about shepherds back then. They were at night, they were out watching over their sheep. And what we know historically is that when you're out away from the village, you didn't have a sheep pen that had been built in the villages. You would have maybe one made of stone. So they would make one of wood and brush and rock and maybe use part of a side of a cliff. And then for the door, the shepherd would sometimes lay down and guard the sheep by being the door, the gate that would keep the sheep in. And so that may have been what was going on the very night that Jesus was born that we celebrate, is the shepherds were guarding over their flock when the angels came with this announcement. And Jesus is saying, he's the gate, and if someone comes in a different way, so if someone doesn't come in, if everyone wants to bother the sheep, steal the sheep or pester the sheep, try to grab one to eat, like Jaime, then they're going to climb in. They're going to climb up over the wall. They won't go through the gate because the shepherd's there.
Right.
And so he is accusing the Pharisees of being like a sheep robber.
Yeah.
And that was not looked upon very kindly. He's saying, that's what you're doing. You're not the shepherd. You're the shepherd. You're the sheep robber.
Yeah.
And they didn't have good intentions for the sheep either.
I did a lot of research on this passage, and one of the things I came to learn is that in the ancient Near East, and especially in this area, sheep were led and not driven. Mm-hmm. A lot of places in the world, and this is still true today, mm-hmm. sheep are driven. So you have dogs, right? And they nip at the sheep's heels to get them to go where they are, you know, supposed to go. Well, that's using the sheep's fear to guide them or to lead them. And that's what the Pharisees were doing, right? They were intimidating. They were coercing. They called out this blind man, threw him out of the synagogue, threw him out of community, basically, in order to probably send a message to other people like, hey, you associate with this Jesus mm-hmm. guy, that's going to happen to you too. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So it was a lot of manipulating and coercing and intimidation to get people to do what they wanted them to do. And Jesus mm-hmm. says, I could lead my sheep with my voice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very different way of leading.
Mm-hmm.
Because in town, a lot of times sheep would be with other, like several shepherds might share a pen in a village, mm-hmm. but the sheep wouldn't go with the wrong shepherd. Mm-hmm. When their shepherd came, they would respond and be let out.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that leads us to think about, well, what is the connection to us here about us hearing the shepherd's voice?
Mm-hmm.
And how do we discern between our shepherd and the robbers and the thieves?
It's interesting using the analogy of or the illustration of penguins. There's so many. I don't know if you've seen these pictures where there's thousands of penguins, but each penguin mommy can speak its voice, and that penguin exactly will that child penguin will know that this is my parent, my mom, with those thousands of penguins that look alike.
That's crazy. And you think they all sound alike to yes, us, right?
Yeah.
All that squawking.
They all sound the same to us, but they're not. They're different. And as believers in Christ, we've been given the Holy Spirit. When we go back to John chapter 3, Jesus told Nicodemus, you need to be born again, be born of the Spirit, because when you are born, you now have a parent. And so now your father is God, and you had to have the Holy Spirit within you. And so we can recognize the voice of God because he is now our father. We have the Holy Spirit within us. And that's a way that we're able to hear the voice of God, because now we have the Spirit of God within us.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And we learn to listen to Jesus's voice mm-hmm. over time. We learn to hear his voice.
And I think it's so important that we don't get distracted by strangers' voices.
Yeah.
And sometimes, especially someone who speaks with authority, or who speaks in some persuasive manner, there are people who are salesmen kind of folks who really can be persuasive. And a number of folks follow a religious leader that is not leading them in a good way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the Pharisees were abusing the people. They're abusing their power. They were taking money from the people. At least some of them were. And that still happens today.
Yeah.
Where people abuse their authority in some religious environment. And these days, through, frankly, podcast and but every other means, YouTube, whatever else, someone can be communicating with you from another part of the world. And I just think we need to be on guard. We need to be really careful. Yeah. Whose voice are we listening to?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sadly, you hear just about every other month, you hear of some well-known pastor, religious figure, leader who has turned out to be creating a toxic environment with their leadership, mm-hmm. either because they're bullying, or, you know, there's a lot of anger and harshness, or maybe there's sexual abuse, mm-hmm. but there's all, you know, we hear these things from shepherds, and people come out of those environments incredibly wounded. Even if they're not the direct victim, mm-hmm. There's still just tremendous wounding and disillusionment and things like that. And so the question we want to ponder here is, how do we know? Because a lot of times these people sound really convincing, like Bruce was saying. They may sound super smart. They may know a lot of stuff. They may be very charismatic.
You want to compare them to Jesus.
Yeah.
How close is their voice to Jesus' voice? How close is their leadership to Jesus' leadership? And even if they're using the name of Jesus, you want to look deeper and say, does their life, does their theology fit with Jesus and who Jesus was and how he lived? And you'll find a number of times, even people who have religious-y sounding, even Christian-y sounding language, it really doesn't match up to Jesus. If you're listening to someone who's at an extreme, and you want to be careful. Sometimes extremes bring novelty and interest, because it's like, well, I've never heard that. Mm-hmm. Well, often there's a reason you haven't heard that, because it's not true. Or it's really not what Jesus is saying.
Ear tickling, right?
Yeah, it's often an extreme. Yeah. Of one kind or another, and it's dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jesus here makes a distinction between himself and the religious leaderships of the day. And it happens that we have the motives are exposed. At the end, you will see that Jesus is the good shepherd, the honorable, noble shepherd, because he will sacrifice his life mm-hmm. for their benefit. Earlier on, Jesus had talked about, you know, the leaders of the day, whoever has authority over you in the Gentiles or the world will exercise authority to get what they want out of you. He said, not so with you.
Right.
It's the motive. I think the fundamental thing is about, is this reflecting of Jesus in this sense that the religious leader is looking out for the benefit of these other persons, of the people that they shepherd, care for? Do they care for them, or are they being used? That's probably one of the biggest things that people get turned off by religion. I just don't want somebody to use God's name and actually be getting something out of me.
Right. These voices are not necessarily just coming from religious people, but sometimes we have to be on guard against the voices of the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And one of the voices right here at Christmas is, guess what's going to make you happy? I mean, Jesus mm-hmm. promises a full life. Some translations say an abundant life.
Mm-hmm.
And we have voices in the world that promise the same thing.
Well, certainly at Christmas, it's buying things. And I'd say also experiences. It's, where are you going for Christmas? Well, we're going skiing to this amazing place. Well, wonderful. That's good. But that's not the heart of life.
Yeah.
That's not the abundant life Jesus is talking about. Or I've bought this fabulous present, or I'm going to get this fabulous present. Wonderful. I hope you enjoy it. That's a good thing from the Lord. But don't mistake that for the real, genuine life God has to offer us. That's another voice, like you said, Lisa, it's like a siren call, a voice that is seductive to pull you into thinking that if I just had more stuff and more experiences, I would be good. I'd be happy. Yeah. And it's not true. It's a lie.
Yeah. Well, because often what happens, you know, 6 weeks after Christmas, a lot of times you don't even remember what you got, yeah. You know, or when the bills come due, first credit card statement comes after Christmas and you go, oh, my goodness.
That abundant lie becomes abundant debt.
And, yeah. And I think as parents, we can play into that because, you know, our kids will see all the things and want all the things and we want to make them happy. But sometimes indulging them and just perpetuates that consumeristic mindset. And that's not healthy either. So that's something we all have to look at Christmas.
John 10:11-21. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them in also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?"
I love to picture the Pharisees' faces when, as Jesus is talking, because I think when he calls himself the gate, they're getting a little heated and a little, you know, because it says that they didn't quite get it. And, right. You know, but they're still a little heated. But then when he calls himself the good shepherd, I imagine their heads exploded, because what's the good shepherd? When you think of the Jewish scriptures, who is often the good shepherd depicted in the Jewish scriptures?
The Lord.
The Lord. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we have Psalm 23, which is very famous. Psalm 100. Mm-hmm. So you have many instances where God is compared to the shepherd. And so I can imagine them going, what is he saying? What does that mean? So, and we talked about this a little bit, but the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And Jesus says that 4 times. And he says something interesting. He says he has the authority to lay it down. What do you think that's about? Why would he bring that up, this issue of authority, Bruce?
Well, he's in charge. Sometimes we wrongly view Jesus as the victim, that the Romans executed him or the Jews yelled for his crucifixion. They did. But Jesus was in control the whole time. Mm-hmm. He says here, no one can take my life from me. And Jesus, the cross... What's remarkable is the cross is voluntary. Mm-hmm. He chose to lay down his life for us. He could have called millions of angels at any moment. He could have, with one word, knocked everybody out. He did not have to go to that cross. Mm-hmm. And so to this text helps us see his love in an incredible way, that he actually had the authority and the power not to go to the cross and chose to lay down his life for us.
Having to and choosing to puts Jesus in an entirely different light for us. That's a remark, and it is such a deeper perspective on his personhood and why he would be worthy or to be our shepherd.
And he said, when he says for the sheep, that's a little stronger preposition in Greek. It's called huper, And it could be translated on behalf of. So he dies as their substitute in their place. And we know from a larger reading of scripture right after Jesus was born in John chapter 1, John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Mm-hmm. And so Jesus is ironically one of the sheep and he's the shepherd.
Yeah.
Because he's a human being and he is God. And so he dies in our place as a lamb who is also simultaneously the shepherd and has the authority of the shepherd.
Which is mind blowing.
Yeah.
That's making my brain is spinning as you just said that. Let's tie this back to some other shepherds that appear in the New Testament. And that is the shepherds that announce or that are receive the announcement that Christ is born. And so it's always interesting. I think we might hear the Christmas story so much. If you were raised in the church, you may have heard it since you were little bitty, or you've seen nativity plays. And so everyone knows that the angels went to the shepherds. Let's think about just for a minute how incredibly strange that was.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, why shepherds?
Right. Out of all of the people that would have got the news first, why was that those shepherds, shepherds at all, that angelic host proclaiming this? Foreshadowing very much. So.
Yeah. The angels didn't go to Caesar. Mm-mm. There was the most powerful empire on earth at the time. Mm-hmm. And he didn't go proclaim it to Caesar. He didn't proclaim it to Herod. He didn't proclaim it to the religious leaders in Jerusalem. He visited some shepherds who were watching over their sheep.
I love how that communicates to me. He comes for ordinary people.
Yes.
Like you and me. While he's royalty, he doesn't come as a royal person. And in those days, shepherds were not viewed in the most positive light.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They were not the elite of their day. They were not the white-collar folk.
They were dirty, smelly out there with the sheep.
They were. And it's not that they were disreputable or dishonest, but they were lower down on the social ladder. Yet Jesus comes to them. It's the humility of Christ coming. He comes, announces it to shepherds. He's in a manger in this little town of Bethlehem, not in an inn or a normal kind of place to be. Just how remarkable our Savior is. So different back to other voices. He doesn't come with harsh, overpowering authority. He comes with humble love, a completely different way of expressing leadership.
And he comes for all the sheep, right? And we just read over verse 16. He says he had other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. That's what he's telling the Pharisees. Mm-hmm. So there was an intention that Jesus had, not just to come for Israel, not just to come for the people right there. His intention was to be the Savior of the world. That's what the people of Samaria proclaimed him as after the Samaritan woman made her big pronouncement. And so we get to be part of that flock.
Mm-hmm. Part of the mission to be able to help others find and follow Christ, to listen to the voice of the shepherd as we share and we have conversations with other people, meaningful conversations. We're able to share about Christ and let them know, hey, I don't know much about this guy, but he healed my blindness. Mm-hmm. And now I was once blind and now I can see. Mm-hmm. And I have a story of what I can tell you what Jesus has done in my life.
Yeah.
And I think if we think of it this way, at least for me, is that there's no better place to be than under the care of somebody that is beyond our comprehension as he's presented as God, but will then willfully lay his life down in your place. That's the best place anybody could be, is to follow him, right? And that begins this abundant life that, was probably beyond our comprehension.
And still today, he's looking for other sheep.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And we're the ones who can tell the news that Jesus Christ is the good shepherd who laid down his life for you so that you could have this abundant life. I do love that translation too, Lisa, and this life to the full by listening to the voice of the shepherd and entering into the gate. He is the gate. He is the way in to the family of God. Mm-hmm. And the shepherds, way back when Jesus was born, when they saw Jesus and realized the Messiah is here, they went and told everybody, and people were amazed. And I think that's so fitting at Christmas is, certainly, this is the time of year to share the news of Jesus Christ.
I think, too, society's been so chaotic and people are really worried about things. And the image of God being a shepherd, that's really incredible. That is very noble mm-hmm. and also tender and caretaking over mm-hmm. us.
Yeah, and like you were saying earlier, Mark, he's a shepherd with integrity and trustworthy and mm-hmm. faithful. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He's going to look out for you. You can trust him. And I think in this world we're living in, where people don't know who to trust,
mm-hmm.
We're very confused by all the voices. Mm-hmm. And we can all, you know, we can trust Jesus. We can trust his care. We can trust that he will shepherd us on into eternity mm-hmm. when the time comes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a beautiful message to have at Christmas.
Yes.
Okay, so this is the last of our Conversations with Jesus series. Any big takeaways? Something that you maybe learned from any of the passages we've studied?
I think for me, one of the things that struck me is how Jesus felt free not to answer the exact question he was asked. And he also, I so value clarity.
Yes.
But Jesus was open to talking word pictures that confused people, but made them think.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Born again, living water, sheep and shepherds. But those images are like, it's like a flower in your mind that begins to just blossom and blossom and it grows. And you begin to realize more and more what Jesus was actually saying. And so it gave me some freedom in conversations with people to not feel like I've got to close the deal or
have all the answers.
Have all the answers, and to be able to share about spiritual truth that is a bit mysterious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And let those seeds of truth grow in people's minds over time.
That's really mm-hmm. good. That's really good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think I love that Jesus just meets people where they're at, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, the Nicodemus, he's like, you want to come to me at night under the cover of darkness because you're, you know, probably afraid mm-hmm. to do it in the, mm-hmm. in the light. Mm-hmm. That's okay. Let's have this conversation. Mm-hmm. And the Samaritan woman at mm-hmm. the well uses the well as an example. She was an outcast. Let's talk when he calls mm-hmm. the disciples, mm-hmm. right? He goes, we're there at to call them. And he just meets people right where they're at. And even here at the Pharisees, right? I mean, this is a confrontation he's having.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably not the most pleasant conversation anybody present ever witnessed.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus is there to protect and to guard against mm-hmm. the religious oppression mm-hmm. and the injustice that was being perpetrated on his people. He didn't mm-hmm. stand for that. Mm-hmm. And so I think but the only way you can be that wise, I mean, of course, we'll never be as wise as Jesus, obviously. But the only way that we can ever sort of run in that vein is if we are also listening to the shepherd. Mm-hmm. We have to know Jesus
mm-hmm.
in order to respond like Jesus. Mm-hmm. And we have, like Jaime said, we have to have the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. inside of us, guiding mm-hmm. us and leading us mm-hmm. in order to have these meaningful conversations. Not where we have to have all the answers and not where mm-hmm. we have to say the most mind-blowing things anyone's ever heard. It's not about that. It's about meeting people mm-hmm. where they're at.
I would agree with that. Actually, that's where I was going to go. I like the juxtaposition of Nicodemus and the Samaritan woman. Here you have Nicodemus at the top of the totem pole of religion, and the Samaritan woman who's a marginalized, not part of the Jewish people, and yet Jesus has conversations where they're at, like mm-hmm. you were saying, Lisa. I think for me, that's a big takeaway in the series of conversations with Jesus, that Jesus was willing to have conversations with people of different social economic background, culture, race. He was willing to have those conversations.
Mm-hmm. He was present. He was willing to be present.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think for me, some of the images that I've, you know, you've read things, you've heard them,
mm-hmm.
and it kind of becomes like wallpaper on the wall. But the conversation that Jesus has, and when he gives these images are, as I start to think about them, are mind-blowing, that God's a shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
That if you believe in him, like the woman on the well, out of you flow rivers of living water. You just look to him like that, the serpent on the pole.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that to me, when I start thinking about that, it blows my mind.
Yeah.
It mm-hmm. makes me have a bigger image.
Well, guys, Merry Christmas mm-hmm. to all
Merry
of
Christmas.
You.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to all our listeners.
Feliz Navidad.
We so appreciate you. And as a special bonus episode, so the guys and I won't be back for the next 2 weeks. We'll see you guys in the new year. But before that, I have recorded a special podcast with some of our worship team. where they're going to talk about the song Emmanuel Victorious, which we've sang both in Spanish and English. Mm-hmm. And it's an original composition that mm-hmm. they were able to record and now is going nationwide. And so we're going to talk a little bit about how that song. So if you've ever wondered about how a song gets created and the steps involved, they were really fun to talk to. So I hope you will listen to that. And then, guys, what's coming up right after the new year?
21 days.
21 days. Prayer and fasting. Experiencing Christ.
Yes. And we are so excited. We've been having some conversations about what that's going to look like and the opportunities that we want to provide for people so that they can. We want everyone to connect with Jesus, to experience Christ over those 21 days. As a church community, that's what our prayer is and our heart is.
It starts January 10th. And I'd love for you to be praying now. I'm praying now about what does the Lord want me to fast from? How does he want to, what would he have me to give myself to for this 21 days? And I'm pretty excited about some of the things I feel like God's put on my heart for me.
And I just can't wait to see what he does in our people, in us, in all of us. Just to have a greater clarity as to who he is and what we need to do to follow him. And then also, you know, we've had in the past, we've had prayers answered and healings and just some amazing reconciliations between people who haven't spoken in years. And I mean, God really will act when we seek him. So let's do that. I'm excited. All right, guys. Well, I appreciate all of you.
And we appreciate you, Lisa.
Thank you, Lisa.
Well, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to everybody. And guys, we would love it if you would please share this podcast on your social media so that we can get more people. If you're enjoying it, maybe there's someone you know who would also enjoy it. So we always appreciate that. Hi, Mason. You're back. Yes. Will you pray us out?
Glad to. My pleasure. Yeah. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for the word that became flesh, for the incarnation of Christ. And at this Christmas season, Lord, we're thankful for the many, many conversations that are happening amongst our church family, Lord, of helping people find and follow Christ. Thankful, Father, for what you're doing in our church and what you're going to be doing in the next coming year, Father. But most of all, as we come close to the day of Christmas, we're thankful for the incarnation, for your great love manifested in your son, Jesus Christ. And we give you thanks, Lord, Father, for sending your son and giving us eternal life, Lord. We give you thanks in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, everybody. We'll see you in the new year.